Next up, and our last speaker for this session, is astronomer Chris Tee. And he's a research scientist at the Anglo-Australian Observatory, which is one of, and he's also one of this year's Fresh Scientists. Now, you know, fresh science is an aspect of science now, where we have scientists who are sort of out there doing things, coming in here and talking to us. So he's going to be talking to us. He's not going to deliver his fresh science speech. He's actually going to be talking about how he sees Australian astronomy developing and how young Australians can get involved. So, Chris, welcome to the stand.
Microphone here turned on. In the presence of so many heavyweight pundits, I feel like I need my security desk in front of me here. I'll try to be brief because it's that part of the afternoon. The discussion's been going on for a while. You're all sitting in the dark. It's a little bit cold. It's perfect conditions for napping. I've been asked to talk about the Australia's place in space, particularly from the astronomy perspective, and I think it's worthwhile at this juncture to at some level separate the sort of astronomy issue from just the purely space science issue. There are a number of areas of astronomy that can only be done from space, and Martin in his talk reviewed several of those. There's gamma ray astronomy, X-ray astronomy, far infrared astronomy, submillimeter astronomy, and there are a few other areas where you achieve significantly higher performance when you go to space, like optical and near infrared astronomy. But the reason why I wanted to separate the issues of space science from astronomy itself is that, as far as astronomy is concerned, most of doing astronomy from space is very, very expensive. And so if there are situations where you have to go to space, like gamma rays, X-rays, far infrared and submillimeter, then that's what you have to do. But in the areas where at present you achieve superior performance by going to space, there are lots of avenues for actually achieving that superior performance on the ground at significantly lower cost. To give you the reason, of course, why space is so expensive is twofold. First off, you've got to actually launch your widget that you've built to do your observing up into space. And as we heard, if you want to do that on the space shuttle, that's about $500 million US a go. And secondly, you've got to build a widget that's going to work reliably in space without breaking down. Because if you want to fix it, it's going to cost another $500 million to send somebody up with a wrench to tighten a screw. So those two things together mean that doing astronomy in space is very, very expensive. To give you some sort of idea of how expensive, the next generation space telescope, which is obviously named by somebody who watches far too much Star Trek, is going to cost around about $500 million US, according to NASA's current budgeting. That's not including the launch cost, of course. So the real cost is probably somewhere around $1 billion US. And spending $1 billion US on an astronomical facility like that is great if you've got an economy the size of the US. Unfortunately, if you've only got an economy the size of Australia, you can't do everything. And you have to actually pick and choose how you're going to spend your money. So if Australia wanted to join in a facility like the Next Generation Space Telescope, or NGST, all we're going to do is be able to buy in at a sort of 5 to 10% share. That's assuming we can convince the Australian government to spend an extra $50 or $100 million on top of what it's already spending on astronomy, which is considerably less than that. On the other hand, for that sort of market, you could get something like a third to a half owned entirely by Australia of a large Antarctic telescope, which would do much of the same science as the Next Generation Space Telescope, except that Australian scientists would own a much larger fraction of it, and it will also tie in very well with Australia's already fairly significant investment in working in Antarctic astronomy and our experience in building ground-based instruments. So while I don't want to be too disappointing on the Australia's place in space for astronomy, I think it's very necessary to actually look at the numbers. You know, how much can we really afford? How can we get the most bang for our buck? I don't think that's actually going to get done by doing astronomy in space. Maybe it will, but I don't think so. I've also been asked to address what young people can do to get involved. And Frank's already given a wonderful description of what young people can do to get involved in the space industry and space science. So I won't go over that. What can young people do to support astronomy and astronomy in space? Well, the first thing to remember is that, unfortunately, nobody ever makes any money out of astronomy. It's a basic research. We do it to try and answer questions like, how did the universe start? Where do we come from? There's not really any dollars associated with that. So most of astronomy is essentially reliant on charity, either funding from governments or private sponsorship, as has worked successfully for a number of institutions in the US. So the first thing young people should remember is that they are, or soon will be, voters. And the second thing you should remember is that you are consumers. So ask your politicians how much they're spending on space, and cast your votes and spend your dollars accordingly. The second point I'd like to make is that what young people can really do for astronomy and astronomy in space, and in fact really science in general, is to learn. Or more importantly, to learn how to learn. Being an astronomer is about learning how to seek answers to questions. And it may sound rather schoolmarmish, but unfortunately, learning the skills to do that starts in school. And it goes on through university, and it continues on into people's professional careers. Most of the really exciting learning that people can do will happen very early on in their careers. Most of the science, most of the exciting science gets done by people doing their PhDs or working in their first job after their PhDs. I can tell you now, having finished my PhD 7 years ago, that as every year goes by, I have more and more crummy jobs to do managing people and projects, and less science actually gets done. So look forward to those years of being a young scientist. But most importantly, what young people should do is retain their curiosity and learn how to learn and have fun at it.